It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Barbara Pierce Bush, the daughter of former President George W. Bush, spoke at a Planned Parenthood fundraiser in Fort Worth today. As KERA's Stephanie Quo reports, that raised some eyebrows from protesters who gathered outside.
Only a handful of protesters showed up outside the Omni Hotel in downtown Fort Worth. Jillian Ferguson is with the Southwest Division of Students for Life of America, a national youth organization opposed to abortions. Ferguson says Barbara Pierce Bush keynoting the annual Planned Parenthood luncheon sends the wrong message, especially as the daughter of a notable conservative who consistently opposed abortion as president.
Obviously, we don't expect Barbara Bush to hold the same ideals and opinions as her father, but President George W. Bush was a very pro-life president, and he left a pro-life legacy. And so Barbara Bush speaking on behalf of Planned Parenthood, it sends a message that she supports what Planned Parenthood does, which is not about women's health care.
Barbara Pierce Bush is the CEO and co-founder of the nonprofit Global Health Corps, which advocates for equal access to health care. She called Planned Parenthood an exceptional organization in a New York Times interview last year. Ken Lambrecht is the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Greater Texas, which put on the luncheon in Fort Worth. He says women's health shouldn't be politicized.
We've provided thousands of women with basic access to gynecology care, birth control, well woman exams, breast and cervical cancer screenings. Our core mission is to serve the poorest of the poor and to ensure access to health care for women, men, and teens.
Planned Parenthood is the single largest abortion provider in the country and has been under fire from Texas Republican legislators. A lot of those sentiments have been in response to secretly recorded videos released in 2015 by groups opposed to abortion rights. Those videos have been called misleading and heavily edited. A federal judge ruled last week that Texas could not cut off Medicaid dollars to Planned Parenthood. Stephanie Quo, KERA News.
President Donald Trump's joint address to Congress last night drew cheers and jeers across North Texas. Brian Flautas is a Dallas Republican who didn't vote for Trump. Still, he appreciated parts of the president's speech.
What really struck out most to me was his positive tone, and he just came across as very clear on his agenda items, and he sounded like a CEO for the first time to me since accepting the GOP nomination.
Jenny Gonzalez, a middle school teacher from Garland, says she was put off by Trump's remarks about immigrants.
Focusing in on them as the reason for the country's problems or the source of crime in our country. You know, we talked about getting rid of criminal cartels and we're not going to make America a sanctuary for extremists. That's the kind of language that's really concerning to me, and I think that a lot of people who think the same way that I do.
Republican U.S. Senator Ted Cruz called the president's immigration remarks strong. Earlier today, Dallas Republican Congressman Pete Sessions talked with Public Radio's Texas Standard about the president's stance on immigration.
As long as he focuses on those that have violated the law, meaning not by being in this country, but by some criminal act, as long as he stays within those boundaries, I think we're good. If we start deporting people because they might be a dreamer or they might have some other circumstances without the underpinning of the Congress and a national debate, I think he's going to be fine.
We have a transcript of the president's address and an annotation of his remarks from NPR at keranews.org. 4 out of 5 people facing prison time qualify for a state-provided lawyer. Today on Think, Fordham Law professor John Pfaff talked with Chris Boyd about how prosecutors already have an advantage over public defenders before they even walk into the courtroom.
We systematically and persistently underfund public defense. And I think a great example of that isn't just that we pay them less. So, for example, nationwide, we spend about $5 or $6 billion on prosecutors. We spend about $4 billion on public defense. But even worse is that prosecutors are massively subsidized. They don't have to pay for investigation. They don't have to pay for DNA because they get the police department and the state forensics labs do that work for them for free. And one study in North Carolina found that if you look at the nominal dollar budgets, prosecutors and public defenders statewide had the same budget. When you account for the fact that the police and the DNA labs all work for free for the prosecutors, but public defenders have to pay for that out of pocket, then effectively prosecutors had tripled the budget of the public defenders.
John Pfaff is the author of Locked In, The True Causes of Mass Incarceration and How to Achieve Real Reform. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you can listen to the podcast at think.kera.org. Combine a strong local economy that's attracting new residents from other states with a shortage of homes for sale, and that means housing prices are going up across North Texas. A report released this week shows that Dallas area home prices jumped more than 8% in December compared to a year earlier. Dallas had one of the biggest increases in the country. Steve Brown reports on real estate for the Dallas Morning News. He joins me to talk about the price of finding a home in Dallas-Fort Worth. Steve, what is the state of housing prices in DFW?
They're now at a record high of about $230,000 for a medium price. But you're really hard-pressed to find houses in that price range. There's really not much available under, say, $300,000. And the reason being is that you do have so many young people that have wanted to buy while interest rates were low. But complicating that, you have all these investors that have come in and bought up all these moderate-priced houses to turn them into rent houses. So there's just not very much for sale. So that's what's made the home prices go up even faster than the apartments. At least we're building a lot of apartments, but we're not building nearly as many homes as we are apartments.
In one of your latest reports, you note that Dallas bucks the national trend and that it's cheaper to rent a home instead of buy one. How does that work?
So an average apartment is just over $1,000. Well, to buy a mid-priced home, by the time you factor in the insurance and the property taxes, then you're getting up $1,500, $1,600 a month. So only a third of the country right now is it cheaper to rent than buy, because housing prices in a lot of areas of the country are still depressed since the recession and have not recovered like they have here. So there's still bargains out there. There's still some bargains here, but there's not nearly the bargains here in a lot of places like, say, Arizona, Nevada, Florida, where they suffered huge crashes of housing during the recession, and they've not caught back up yet.
I feel like I want to ask you, what are the housing hotspots in North Texas? Which areas are seeing the biggest increases in sales prices other than, say, Highland Park? Are there any surprise areas?
Oh, no. It's what you would think. Frisco, Plano. We've got so much new employment going up north that's driving home prices in Frisco, Plano, McKinney, Allen, all those kind of markets. You move over to the mid-cities, South Lake, Colleyville, those kind of places.
Now, with all these home sale prices going up, with rent going up, is there concern that they're going up too fast and there could be a bubble of sorts?
No one wants to use the B word. There is concern because home prices and apartment rents in Dallas-Fort Worth are growing at a mini multiple of wage increases, and have done so for the last few years. We were sort of underpriced to begin with, so there was some running room there. But you can't just keep increasing the price of a commodity of housing faster than the ability of people to pay for it. So a lot of analysts and even the builders themselves recognize that, this has worked for a while, but we can't keep growing the price of stuff faster than people's ability to pay for it. And there is a lot of discussion about that and worry about that. It's just right now nobody's willing to do anything about it because the demand is so strong.
Steve Brown is a reporter with the Dallas Morning News. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And finally, North Texas just had its warmest winter on record. The National Weather Service's Dallas-Fort Worth saw an average temperature this winter of 53 degrees. That beats the previous record set 17 years ago. We also had the warmest February on record with an average temperature of 60 degrees. Waco also set a record for its warmest February. The forecast for early March in North Texas will be warm, too. Should be mostly clear this evening, though, with a low around 37. Tomorrow, sunny with a high in the upper 60s. And tomorrow night should be mostly clear with a low around 42. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.